This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on December 17, 2009. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The next matter is the draft advisory opinion 2009-28, Democracy Engine, Inc., PAC, as Treasurer Jonathan Zucker is with us along with Mr. Gold. Please join us if you like, and in the event we have some questions, will be available to us. Thanks for coming, and I apologize for the delay today. It didn't relate to your matter. It had to do with other mechanics of some of the other matters on the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Madam General Counsel, are you ready to go?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda documents 09. Oh, I'm sorry. There's been a late submitted document.
That's correct. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I move that we suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order to consider agenda document number 09-81-A.
Thank you. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? The motion passes 6-0. Thank you. You continue now.
Thank you. Agenda documents 0981 and 0981A respond to an advisory opinion request submitted by Democracy Engine, Inc., PAC. Democracy Engine, Inc., PAC, is a political committee registered with the Commission as a separate segregated fund. Its connected organization is Democracy Engine, Inc., a corporation. The request asks whether the Federal Election Campaign Act and Commission regulations permit the committee to solicit the general public for contributions earmarked for specific federal candidates that the committee will then forward to those candidates. The request further asks whether, if the committee is permitted to make such solicitations, costs it incurs in doing so will constitute contributions to the candidates who receive the earmarked contributions. There are two alternative drafts before you. Draft A, Agenda Document 0981, concludes that the committee may solicit the general public for earmarked contributions and transmit those contributions to the appropriate candidates. Draft A further concludes that the committee's solicitation costs would constitute independent expenditures, not contributions. Draft B, Agenda Document 0981A, concludes that the committee may not solicit the general public for earmarked contributions and therefore does not reach the second question. We received one comment concerning both Draft A and Draft B, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any comments from any of the commissioners on this matter? Any questions of counsel? Any questions of Mr. Gold or Mr. Zucker? Commissioner McGann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Of all the AOs that I've seen, at least with competing drafts, this I think is the most interesting and in a lot of ways the most telling. To cut to the chase, I support draft A with three technical edits I intend to make at the table, one of which actually was a result of reading the comments filed by the requester who pointed out that Draft A was answering a technical question, but a question that was not asked, so I'm going to make that edit. But Draft A, to me, is wholly consistent with the statute and the regs, and not only is it consistent with, I think it's the result mandated by the regs, and I look at Draft B and I scratch my head. And the comments really summarize this much more eloquently than I ever could, but the comments are correct, and I think, in that Draft B ignores regulatory language as if it's not there, draws analogies that are counter to the statute and the regs. The one saving grace of Draft B is at least it cites Buckley versus Vallejo for the proposition that the purpose of campaign finance law is to limit the actuality and appearance of corruption. We all agree on that. Of course, it has to cite McConnell, which has really become the duct tape of election law. It cites it for a proposition that is wholly irrelevant to the issue at hand. It invokes the careful balance of the statutory scheme, but of course turns it on its head and actually it misstates the balance. The logic is circular, and it most troubling, and this is really the question I have for Mr. Gold, is how far the logic of draft B would go. Maybe I'm missing something, but I want to make sure I'm not missing something on this. Because the issue in this is whether an SSF, which most people call a corporate PAC, can raise money for federal candidates by way of doing it as an earmark, sort of a pass-through. And the regs, to me, clearly state that it can. There's been prior AOs, at least one that can come to mind, that says a standalone PAC can do this, and maybe there's a wrinkle because it's an SSF. The regs and the statute don't support that, but as a policy matter, maybe if we were on a clean slate, one could say it ought not be okay. But Draft B has this statement that the commission has not previously addressed the scope of an SSF's authority to communicate with the general public under the regs. Of course, it has. You correctly, I think, point to an AO where it has addressed it. But it seems to me every time the government has gone to court to defend particularly the electioneering communication ban, the argument has always been, we're not limiting speech. We're merely making you use hard money through a PAC. But now we learn that someone, the commission, I suppose, think that, well, we're not even sure that the PAC itself can speak. Doesn't that seem inconsistent with what the government has been telling the courts? The SSFs are free to do what they want to do?
Well, I think it did strike us in reviewing this that there was some inconsistency, as you describe. In fact, I went back, I didn't cite it, I went back and looked at the brief that the commission filed with the court in the McConnell case, where it was defending originally the electioneering communications provisions in the statute, and emphasizing the PAC alternative as a constitutionally sufficient alternative for unions and corporations, and made exactly the point that all they have to do is use the PAC, and there was nothing in that argument and certainly nothing in the law that conditioned that on the fact that the sponsor of the SSF was a corporation or union. That has been the structure of federal election law since before the Federal Election Campaign Act itself, dating from Pipefitters and even cases back UAW and CIO and the like, is that PACs, sponsored or not, there are no restrictions on their communications to the general public. I suppose they can't advocate things that are unlawful in the sense of procuring something, but to me, the statement in Draft B to that regard really depends on the underlying question about whether or not the SSF can do this in the first place.
Thank you. That confirmed my thought that what had thought to be a clear legal norm, Draft B seems to claim to be all of a sudden unresolved. The other issue is the reach of the logic. Not only does it, I think, purport to issue an advisory opinion on not on the act or regs, which the advisory opinion statute requires that, but the logic of it can go all kinds of directions. I don't know if you're familiar with a group called Act Blue. There's other groups like Act Blue. They do internet fundraising, and they tend to do conduit earmark contributions, and they figure out a way to do the overhead. I'm not sure if they count it as an in-kind or it may not be an IE if it's not express advocacy. Demerit solicitation would not necessarily be an IE, at least under Draft A. But the way I read Draft B, that really causes some doubt, I think, as to the legality of what those sorts of groups are doing. Do you see the logic of Draft B going that far?
Well, I suppose it might. Draft B does not address, question two, which was the, specific treatment of costs incurred in the program itself. But I think the general point is right that one concern I have about Draft B is not only addressing this particular advisory opinion request on these facts, but it does call into question, potentially could, the we lead result, and more fundamentally, as I alluded to a minute ago, what is an SSF? How is it the same as or different from a political committee? I think it's always been accepted that an SSF and a political committee otherwise are the same. The only differences are that an SSF cannot solicit contributions to itself from anyone but its restricted class, which Democracy Engine PAC will not do. They will not solicit contributions to themselves from any of these solicited individuals. And the fact that the connected organization can, does not have to, but can pay the administrative costs of the PAC itself. That's never been considered to, obviously, to endanger the rights of the SSF itself to make contributions and independent expenditures just because its administrative costs are funded by the connected organization. This draft suggests that the actual programmatic activity of an SSF can be curtailed somehow. It's a very novel suggestion, not predicated on anything that draft B cites, merely because the connected organization pays those administrative costs. In this case, Democracy Engine PAC will pay all the programmatic costs of this program. Democracy Engine Inc. will not, just like a corporation or union ordinarily would not.
Turning to the regs itself, setting aside the broader fancy stuff about court cases and policy and all that, don't the regs themselves speak to this issue already?
Well, I think that's really our basic point here, is that there are, you know, specific regulations in Part 114 and Part 110 that explicitly on their face, and it's supported by the ENJ, December 1995 ENJ for 114.2 that specifically authorized this. There is nothing in the regulations that is to the contrary, and you know, I think that
I don't mean to cut you off, but yeah. Here you're not using corporate resources to facilitate. You're using PAC money, so you're using all hard money to do this. It would be precluded under the regs to use corporate money, but the reg is clear because there's a different regulatory section that puts a limit on what an SSF can and can't do. And
114.2, if I maybe more directly answer your question, then 114.2 talks about facilitation by corporations and unions, meaning their treasury funds, and activities by SSFs themselves using SSF funds. And our advisory opinion request depends entirely and solely on the latter. And that's following the distinction that this commission adopted 14 years ago this month. And we believe, you know, the drafts themselves reflect one, that our request is predicated specifically on that language and its rationale. And the other draft really is not taking it into account.
Just one final point. You raise in footnote one technical point, and that you're not asking about raising for other SSFs, and we ought not answer a question being asked. And I think that would be, not that you have the blue draft, but I would, in supporting the draft, would suggest an edit on page 8, line 2 and 3, and strike "or any other SSF." And I think that would address the concern you raised in your comments. And I appreciate you raising that because it's important that we get it right. And just to continue so folks know where I am, page 6, line 17, strike "the." It seems redundant. I think that's a typo. And then I would suggest that we, in footnote 1 on page 5, strike "the" in the footnote, and the last, third line of the footnote, insert the word "Michigan." Sentence as a draft, it Austin upheld the prohibition on corporate independent expenditures. Actually, it upheld the Michigan prohibition. And that, other than those technical edits, I plan on supporting draft B, and I thank the chair for the time and Mr. Gold for his comments.
Thank you very much. Any other questions? Any interest in getting a discussion at this point? Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have a lot to add to what Commissioner McGann had to say. I also support draft A. not only does nothing in the FECA or the Commission's regulations prohibit the proposed conduct that Democracy Engine is proposing in this advisory opinion request that is serving as a conduit for earmark contributions, there are actual provisions. I know that sometimes there's been a debate on the Commission that when the regs are or the statute are silent, does that mean whatever is not prohibited is permitted? We're not even in that realm. There are specific regulatory provisions that we can point to that specifically permit the conduct that requester seeks to engage in, that is to communicate with the general public in order to solicit earmarked contributions that would go to federal candidates, with Democracy Engine serving as the conduit or intermediary. I think the regulations in 11 CFR 114.2 F3 and 114.5 I are very clear on this point. I think that the policy concerns that are raised in draft B are certainly interesting ones, and I mean, obviously, could serve as the basis for congressional action if they ever wanted to change the law. But they haven't done it. The balance that Congress has struck up to this point permits what Democracy Engine proposes to do in this request, and so I also fully support draft A, as well as the technical amendments that Commissioner McGann proposed.
Any other comment? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this is a very interesting request and raises many of the same issues, but some different ones from the ones that the Commission considered several years ago in the National Restaurant Association PAC request. And there, too, we had a dispute over who the PAC, who the distinctions between a corporate labor union, SSF, and a non-connected committee, and who they can solicit and how they can solicit, because obviously there are restrictions on who can be solicited by a corporate or labor union PAC. I took the position then that I don't think that they can solicit beyond the restricted class, and I'm sticking with that position now. Sorry to disappoint the requester. I appreciate the ingenuity that went into the request. I think it really is a very creative and interesting idea. And often I'm impressed by it always, and often I'm able to support creative approaches like this. This time, unfortunately, I'm not.
Any further comment? Commissioner Bowerman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will also be supporting draft B, and I agree that this is similar to what the commission did in 2006. Although I wasn't on the commission at that time, I think it seems that this answer again will prove elusive to the commission, as I understand where the votes might be. I take seriously the distinction that has been made between SSFs and non-connected committees, and while there are some other AOs out there that have permitted this activity, approved this activity with respect to non-connected committees, I think there are a couple of really important distinguishing factors for me. For example, in We Lead, it was not an SSF. In addition, the We Lead program was raising funds for a future to-be-determined candidate. So there was clearly no exercise of control or direction over those funds. And I think that while there have been AOs, we also have an ENJ that talks about when a non-connected committee engages in this activity, that activity can constitute an in-kind contribution. And I know there was an AO that reached a different conclusion, but in my view, an AO can't overrule an ENJ. That's part of a regulation. So that is one of my concerns as well with the conclusions reached in draft A. So I will not be able to support draft A, and I'll yield my back to the chairman.
Okay. Any further comment? Anybody? Commissioner McGann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just I make sure I heard right. The ENJ is part of the reg. It has the same authority as the reg.
I was referring to the ENJ that is adopted as part of the regulation at the same time as the regulation, as you know, is required by the courts with respect to our regulations. I was simply stating that, in my view, an AO with respect to a specific request cannot change the text of an ENJ, which is in my view, still on the books.
Okay. I have a question again for Mr. Gold. At least it was true until this morning. I think it's true that an SSF can do independent expenditures, meaning your client's PAC could run an ad saying, vote for John Gibson for Congress.
I believe that's the law, yes.
Right, even though draft B, we're not sure of the parameters of that, apparently. We've told every court in the land that that's the law. What if that IE says, vote for John Gibson for Congress and give him money?
I think that's also permissible under the law.
Is that permissible under draft B?
I guess it's not clear where draft B goes. Draft B raises, I think, a question about the scope of an SSF's or maybe any political committee's ability to speak independently to the public about candidates and elections. I don't know, when you start to tear down what I thought everybody agreed was a pretty ironclad line, which says that PACs can say anything they want, corporations and unions are restricted, I don't know where that goes. So I don't have an answer. I didn't obviously draft B, but it does raise a cloud. And if I can just make one other comment, I read with interest the statements of reasons that were issued in MER 5724 that were released just the other day. And without regard to the specifics of that case, which are unrelated to this case, I did agree with what Commissioners Weintraub and Bowerly, and I respect your disagreement with, express disagreement with our proposed advisory opinion here. But that statement of reasons did say there already is a regulation on the books governing this situation. We do not need to issue a new rule or policy statement to justify proceeding here. And also point that out that with respect to the position taken by other commissioners, there's no grounding for this position in either our statutes or our regulations or Supreme Court decisions. And I respectfully submit that the same comments could be made about this submission. We have laid out both in our original request and in the comments we filed yesterday, and they're reflected to some degree in draft A, specifically what the statute and the regulations say with respect to this situation. And the commission has come out with these regulations, it's issued advisory opinions, and we have relied on them in making this request. Draft B, with all respect to whoever drafted it, is heedless of those provisions. It doesn't even refer to them. And I think that the comments by the two commissioners that I just quoted, which I fully agree with, ought to be applied here to acknowledge that we have a valid request. Whether or not the commission might reach that decision or the Congress might in a different circumstance, that's where the law is right now. And I think that we believe that we're entitled to an advisory opinion that confirms that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner McGann, nothing further? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't want to get into an argument with the witness, especially one who is so complimentary about my statement of reasons. And I guess it just comes down to whether we agree that the regulations that are on the books clearly permit what you have requested, or whether there is some ambiguity in it about the situation that you have specifically posited. And, you know, people can disagree on these things. You know, we've agreed and disagreed on various things in the past, and the commission has agreed and disagreed on some of these issues, on related issues, not quite this one, in the past. So I guess that's where we find ourselves here.
Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just would like to just quickly, we're referring to some regulatory provisions, but we haven't actually said or spoken out loud what they say. One of them is in 114.2F3, and it says, facilitating the making of contributions does not include the following activities if conducted by a separate segregated fund. And one of those activities that's not included says collecting and forwarding contributions earmarked to a candidate in accordance with 11 CFR 110.6. Mr. Golden, in your request and also in your comments, you said you plan on complying with 110.6. Is that still the case?
Absolutely.
Okay. So in light of that, go ahead.
I'm just saying we relied specifically on the regulation you quoted and are trying to conform our activities to the specific regulations that the commission has provided us.
So taking the requester at his word, which is what we do when we issue a advisory opinion request, they may collect and forward contributions earmarked to a candidate in accordance with 11 CFR 110.6. And then skipping to 115.5I, which says a separate segregated fund may, using voluntary contributions, communicate with the general public, except that such communications may not solicit contributions to a separate segregated fund established by a corporation, labor organization, membership organization, cooperative, or corporation without capital stock. So under this regulation, there is a broad permissiveness to communicate with the general public on any subject with narrow exceptions. And those exceptions are that you cannot communicate a solicitation for contributions to an SSF established by a corporation, labor organization, membership organization, or cooperative, or corporation without capital stock. And is it still the case that you do not plan on making any of those solicitations to any of those organizations listed?
That's correct, and in fact, affirmatively, the solicitation as described in the advisory opinion request will disclaim any solicitation of contributions to itself, and will, and if any contributions come in, they will be returned, which is a common provision elsewhere in the regulations in that situation.
So, as I read the request, since you do not fall into that narrow exception to the broad permissive regulation which allows communications with the general public, I again just cannot see anything in the regs, in the act, anything that would prevent or prohibit the proposed activities in this advisory opinion request. And I guess I still, again, like Commissioner McGann, I'm a little bit confused how we can arrive at an answer other than a yes in this matter. But I thought
if the vice chair would yield for a moment, those regs you cite seem to be on point. I can't find them in draft B. They don't seem to be cited. Do you see them in draft B? They don't seem to be cited in draft B. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing, because those regs seem to answer the question on squarely on all fours.
Further? Here we again. Anyone else? Well, I plan to support draft B myself, and I also feel, I just joined the comments of my colleagues on this matter. I think if we were going to move a little further into this, I'd think we ought to maybe consider some kind of regulation, kind of like we have in the past. We're going to start treading some new ground in this particular area. So I'm, for the reasons stated in draft, be able to support that. Any motion for anybody? Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move approval of draft advisory opinion 2009-28 as set forth in agenda document number 09-81, otherwise referred to as draft A.
If I could, Mr. Chair, a friendly amendment to that with the technical amendments I mentioned earlier.
Okay, is Council clear on exactly what those are? All right, thanks. So the motion will incorporate the amendments that were suggested by Commissioner McGann in the colloquy before. Are we ready for a vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
The motion fails. Commissioner, the Vice Chairman, Commissioner Hillier, Commissioner McGann voted in favor. Commissioner Weintraub, Commissioner Harlan, I voted against. Any further motions? If not, this is as far as we're going to go. Thank you very much, Council.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.